This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly link to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi, professor at Cornell University School of Integrative Plant Sciences, and we do this in partnership, as always, with our friends at the New York State Turfgrass Association, found on the web at www.nysta.org. And this is the podcast for the week of July 20th, 2015. Travels around the region over the last few weeks have revealed the moisture challenges many are facing. Regardless of dry or wet at this point, the increasing heat is starting to cause thinning, primarily of annual bluegrass putting surfaces. However, bent grasses are thinning on courses with excessive traffic, knobs on greens that have dried and are being skinned by close mowing. Once turf begins to thin at this time of year, recovery becomes very difficult. Increasing temperatures and difficulty in water management, especially on sandy surfaces, create ideal conditions for algae and moss that further seal off the surface and prevent recovery. Keeping the surface permeable will require some venting or surface spiking, especially if on a regular rolling program. It might be a good idea to move to smooth rollers on mowers for the tiniest of increases in height of cut. At this time of year, any rest you can provide the surfaces will allow for turf to survive the last month of stress that lies ahead. Drastic changes in management, such as excessive pesticide use to battle on a disease epidemic, aggressive grooming or top dressing to promote surface drying, or double cutting for improved ball roll distance can all lead to catastrophic failure. Sometimes the most important thing we do as golf turf managers is practice patience. The key to this success involves regular communication with the golfers, especially those that have the highest of expectations. Keep in mind that we implement practices in the shoulders of the season to prepare our courses for the stress at this time. Note areas that are struggling and get a plan in place for the fall. Now, the weather, a normal week temp-wise, with most hovering within 2 degrees of normal, moderate heat stress continued along the I-95 corridor. We continue to keep pace with normal growing degree day accumulations for the season compared to the 15-year average. Soils are consistently in the upper 70s to the north to as much as mid-80s to the south. Variable rainfall continued across the region, with a few areas of 3 to 4 inches continuing the trend of locally heavy events this season. Many received about 1 to 2 inches in dry areas on Long Island and southeastern Connecticut, less than a half an inch. ET was maximum at 1 to 1.25 inches region-wide. Drought map areas are shrinking, however, the Long Island and southeast Connecticut areas are hanging on the dry side. Most topsoil in the region is adequate. And the forecast for the week of July 20th, a warm week is expected for the region with some hot and steamy conditions persisting into evening hours. Expect widespread heat stress and foliar disease pressure with extended periods of leaf wetness. Pop-up storms into midweek, then some drying expected. The long-term models calling for warm and dry conditions. A couple of regional clips. From, first of all, Vicki Wallace from University of Connecticut. Some rains moving through, keeping things green and enough to avoid having to irrigate regularly. From the University of Massachusetts, Randy Prostak, a claim extra windowed, closed now for most crabgrass plants past 5 tiller. Time to consider quinclorac option when plants are larger than 5 to 7 tillers. Walt Nelson in Western New York, adequate rainfall has kept mowers busy during a time of the year when many ground folks can work on tasks in Western New York. And Nick Menchik from SUNY Farmingdale, Dollar Spot, Red Thread, and large goosegrass plants, as well as Japanese beetle and European chafer adults, are active on Long Island. A note from Tom Kowalsik, retired cooperative extension specialist from Suffolk County. The hot and dry weather is starting to cause some browning in under-irrigated turf areas, and I suspect this is going to continue with the predicted high temperatures in the upcoming week. This is the first time this has become obvious since the real dry weather back in early summer spring. The diagnostic lab at CCE Suffolk reported seeing chinch bugs in a zoysia grass lawn. Sod growers are starting to water again. Fields look good. And watching Westchester County from Jerry Giordano, senior horticulture consultant at the Cooperative Extension Office in Westchester County. The return of frequent rains to Westchester has put weed growth into high gear as crabgrass takes over thinner areas of turf and places where pre-emergent timing was not ideal. Twisting, curled shoots, and feathering of foliage on ornamentals indicate a 2,4-D injury from an adjacent lawn, varmint damage on one lawn with a large earthworm population. And finally, our questions for the week. I raised my height of cut and still feel my putting surface mower is causing stress. What should I be looking at? Well, Mueller evaluation research conducted at Cornell University for 5 years indicated there are two possible stresses related to mowing that are not associated with height of cut. Frequency of clip, which is the relationship among reel speed, ground speed, and number of blades on the reel. If set very close to height of cut, can produce significant stress. The raking action of the reel is more frequent passing through the canopy, and it might make for a slightly cleaner cut. We did not find significant improvements in performance. Secondly, rapid frequency of clip, more closely aligned to height of cut, can also increase wounding of the tissue. We saw this to be true when mowers set frequency of clip equal to height of cut were used on cleanup passes. The combination of turning and abrading of the tissue led to clear tissue damage. Be mindful of this adjustment when you are planning your mowing for the next few weeks. The second issue we found not related to height of cut was bed knife position, relative to the center line of the reel. Our work showed clearly that the further back a bed knife is positioned from the center line of the reel, the more aggressive the mower was cutting the turf. The geometry of the mower reel in relationship to the bed knife can force this to occur as the reel shrinks in diameter from grinding. Also, different rear roller positions, bed bars, and bed knives can all contribute to a bed knife position. As the bed knife position moves back from the center line, the reel dips into the turf as much as 0.03 of an inch below the set height of cut. Now is the time to take a close look at these factors and recognize where additional stress might be coming from. And the final question, now that heat and humidity have arrived, can I rely on my phosphites for Pythium? Our first real bout of heat and humidity, the question has popped up about the use of phosphites and how safe are they at this time of year. The simple answer is that depends. Remember that phosphites have a lot of variability in their production from product to product and don't all necessarily act in the same manner. That means when you go into low air movement shaded areas that has a low spot, in all likelihood, a phosphite might not hold up as well as that area which is exposed and elevated. So when the weather gets sticky and uncomfortable for the first time in a couple of years, remember that the oomycete fungicides are going to be your best bet. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. My name's Frank Rossi. I'm here at Cornell University in the School of Integrative Plant Science. Thanks to our friends at the New York State Turfgrass Association, found on the web at www.nysta.org. And I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.